Thank you very much, Chairperson. We have a presentation to make, and I need to indicate that it's going to show the expenditure pattern, both for the equitable share and for the conditional grants. And the expenditure patterns are there.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. We are going to stick to the brief as we received it on the correspondence that we received. We will briefly look at the expenditure, overall expenditure of our department in the Free State, and concentrate on the conditional grants and capital expenditure. I just want to indicate, Chairperson, that maybe in the documentation that you received, there is the last column that we may have deleted. We are indicating on this slide that as far as the program expenditure is concerned, Chairperson, we normally do indicate the program where we are having a problem in red. Our target was to have expenditure at the level of 75% by the end of the third quarter. We then see, Chairperson, that program one, which is administration, is at 72.35. We will explain why it is like that. Program five is to the level of 73.19. And program seven and program eight, program seven also is 62. Program eight, it indicates it has got some serious budgetary pressures. The reasons for under or over expenditure according to the programs is that as far as program one is concerned, Chairperson, we still must complete our procurement of ICT equipment to the tune of 36 million. And that is why our program one is below 75%. As far as program two is concerned, Chairperson, you remember we said when we were here the last time that the procurement of LTSM for tools is one major one of expenditure for the province. And we are at a point where we are just finalizing the payment of all the service providers. As far as the delivery of stationery is concerned, we are at 98% delivery rate. The reason why it is not 100% is because one of the service providers was having some problem, but according to our discussion, the delivery will be finalized by Friday this week. As far as tech issues are concerned, the delivery is at 2% because we await the delivery of back order from the publisher. So that is the only problem that we are having with program 2. With program 5, we have had for some time, Chairperson, the problem of the compensation of the part-time lecturers in our four colleges. We have just finalized the payment of the part-time lecturers as a transfer payment to the colleges. And I'm sure by the end of January, the program pass extension will be sufficient. Program 6 added the amount of 4.9 million on goods and services will be utilized during February. So we expect that this program will also be where it is supposed to be. Program 7, we have just added at the beginning of the school year the incorporation of new ECD centers that have been subsidized by the department. In certain cases, Chairperson, we've got a problem with the transfer to centers that are being delayed due to the non-compliance by the centers in terms of reporting back to the department in the previous transfer payment. With regard to program A, the payment for capital projects is according to schedule, and we do not envisage any overspending except on the NSMT conditional grant, which we will refer to later on. By economic classification, Chairperson, you then see that those that we feel are having some problems are expenditure on goods and services at 3.90, and on machinery and equipment, the one that we spoke about, on the ICT equipment of about 36 million. So once we have finalized this payment of the 36 million, we believe that machinery and equipment expenditure will improve on that item. On conditional grants, Chairperson, HIV-AIDS, we believe is doing well. The problem is at the National School Nutrition Program, which is at 98.99. And we need to explain this one, Chairperson, why the NSNC is pulled up spending as it stands now. It is because of the drastic increase in the number of learners who have been accommodated in this program. What we promised our National Department of Education, we promised them that we were going to supplement our funds on the NSMT, and therefore this then indicates exhaustion of the conditional grant. But as it appears there at the bottom of the slide, the province initially started to supplement this program by 1.2 million. We are now in the process of, from other things, supplementing the National School Nutrition Program to the tune of around additional 12 million. So hopefully, Chairperson, we will be able to continue to service all our schools, and there will not be in danger of the program not being going on in other schools. Our provincial infrastructure grant and infrastructure enhancement grant, Chairperson, are doing very well. The 36.574 transfers to the FET colleges indicate an expenditure of 100%, but we will then come back to the expenditure of the college chapter. But this slide just indicates that all the FET research funds have been transferred to the four colleges. The next slide chapter indicates expenditure per college. You will see that the Flavius Marega College is doing relatively well. The other colleges are spending below our norm of 75%. But when you look at the commitment of the three other colleges that are not performing well, and if we take that 5 million commitment, our view is that once the colleges pay off their contractual obligations, which they have promised when we met them last week, our expenditure will then be on par with the rest of the with the rest of our program and the first colleague of Flavius Marega. So we are continuously discussing the issue of the expenditure with each college. The expenditure is according to the bank statement of each one of the colleges. And so we require that each college, at the end of each month, they send a copy of the expenditure and a copy of the bank statement to the department as proof of expenditure by the college. The HIV-AIDS performance measures, we are also looking at their targets and actual performance, and it appears to us that things are going on very well with our HIV-AIDS. This is an improvement because I think the second quarter report, or the first quarter report, indicated that the province was actually falling behind. That was mainly due to some of the work that was not done during the teacher strike. But we are at a point where we can say that we have been able to catch up with our HIV-AIDS life skills program. We have a few challenges because we have lost a few administrative assistants who have joined either the University of the Free State or the National Department of Education respectively. We do try that chairperson, but it does appear that in certain cases we are not able to convince the chairperson accordingly. As far as the National Communication Program non-financial performance is concerned, we are currently feeding 413,546 learners, which is a very high number of learners that we are feeding in the Free State. We also have voluntary food handlers that we pay a stipend of 500 rand each a month. We are keeping an eye on the amount that we are paying these food handlers in relation to the minimum wage we negotiated the terms of the food handlers. Schools are given 300 rand per month for gas and the fuel, because we also have incorporated the hot meals project in the province. We also share that, and thank you. Okay, we also have sustainable food production in schools. We have 637 schools with existing vegetable gardens in the province. And in each district chairperson, we have 20 schools participating in the nutrition education, and we are also training the personnel on hygiene in the various districts. The challenges there are that we are also beginning to have certain demands from the registered ECD committee-based side that also has become part of the National School Nutrition Program. We have a problem of lack of proper food storage in our schools, because schools were not designed to have these facilities before. And the department has identified 8 schools in the province for the provision of mobile kitchens. And monitoring continues to go on well, Chairperson, despite the lack of shortage of personnel in certain districts, but we'll talk about monitoring in general towards the end of this presentation. Chairperson, we will leave the achievements of the Wajanda achievements of the FEQ recap grants. Yes, Chairperson. As far as infrastructure programs are concerned, Chairperson, we just need to indicate that our programs are duly divided into 2 parts, the major capital, which are implemented by public works with a focus on elimination of plateauing and overcrowding schools. These are our major programs. The good news, Chairperson, is that the province has taken a conscious decision to eliminate all plateauing in 2 years, by dedicating money to the tune of around 180 million to phase out plateauing completely over 2 to 3 years. We also have the minor capital projects that are implemented by the department itself in collaboration with the SGB, and the main objective is to do renovations in schools, do maintenance, and provide basic services like water, sanitation, and electrification. We also do have some agreements with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry and ESCOM with regards to the implementation of some of these projects. These are the details, Chairperson, on our expenditure on infrastructure. You will see, Chairperson, that we do have some allocation from our equitable share in Program 1, where we are doing day-to-day maintenance, and the budget is 7 million. The expenditure on that budget, Chairperson, is 90%. We do also have some projects like Lithuania that we do with the SGBs. We have our own minor capital projects that are done by our own technical services. We have minor capital expanded public works transfers that we do with our schools. whether schools are charged with the erection of school fences and so on and so on. So if you drive through the province of Jefferson, you will see that one of the issues that has improved very significantly is the adherence of the security fences around our schools. Then we have our provincial infrastructure grants that are performing well. You will see there that the other one is at 99% expenditure level. The provincial infrastructure grant is at the 83% level. We are confident, Chairperson, that with the support that we do have and the regular meetings that we have with provincial treasury, public works, road and transport, and our department, there has been very significant improvement in the delivery of infrastructure services relating to our schools. And that is the reason why some of our programs are performing at this level. And I'm sure that is the reason why provincial treasury has also felt the confidence to allocate 180 million more towards the elimination of the Platinum schools. The expenditure has increased due to the fact that most contractors are performing according to expectations, and we expect that by the end of February, our expenditure will be approximating the 100% mark. Like we have said, Chairperson, we've got regular monthly monitoring meetings between implementing agency, which is the Department of Public Works, Road and Transport, and provincial treasury, and monthly reports are supplied and discussed in these meetings, and the meetings are actually chaired by the MEC for Finance. Intensive quarterly reviews led by provincial treasury take place, and these meetings assist in briefing the executive authorities of the three departments regarding progress with the implementation of our education infrastructure projects. Generally, our monitoring capacity in the department has improved. We do have monthly finance committee meetings where we look at the overall performance of the department, but also focus on the expenditure program and responsibility management. We also have quarterly review sessions, which are held to provide feedback on service delivery and the budget performance. Monthly expenditure reports are sent for the attention and the comment of the head of the department and the executive authority. And each one of our four branches is allocated a management accountant to assist the program manager with the financial reporting as well as the non-financial reporting. In case responsibility managers do not perform well, the HOD does write letters regularly to these responsibility managers who are underperforming as far as expenditure is concerned. And the effect of the letters, Chairperson, I think is seen in the improving trends of expenditure, because this is quite a very serious engagement with the responsibility managers. Like I have indicated, Chairperson, the first quarter report indicated HIVA was one of the underperformers, if I remember quite well. And I think NSNT itself, but from the third quarter report, you will then see, Chairperson, that there has been some significant improvement. I think this is the long and short of what we want to come in for, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Long and short of it, thank you very much. Mr. Hotule, you've been writing feverishly. Questions, comments, clarity.
No, thanks, Chairperson. No, I was just trying to make some notes to see how well Free State has fed in line with what we have been talking to the department, and particularly with regard to the second quarter expenditure. They have really managed to walk their talk, because they did, amongst other things, indicate that they would have a very remarked expenditure because of reasons that they have advanced. But my interest, Chair, is on program 5. There's reference in the presentation on the effect of the FET Act. I just need to be appraised with regard to how does this the FET Act implicate on the issue that is mentioned here. There are intentions that we normally talk to, which will indicate that the development, economic development in a province or in an area is spread across. You know, when you build a school in Odindal Crest, where I come from, you find that a school is being built by a company from Botshabelo, a company from Bloemfontein, and then you ask yourself, where's the local economic development element in this particular thing? But it's a matter that I'll continue to raise this public work, but that I've reflected in the second quarter to say development in the Free State would only be in Bloemfontein and the smaller areas to continue to be impoverished. It's because of the reason that I'm going to advance. I'll advance it on the issue of the infrastructure spending. If in the presentation talks about security fence at schools, what is happening in this particular area? Companies that are building these security fences in Odindal Crest, in Wesselsbron, in other smaller areas, are companies that are not from those particular local communities. And I just wish to check where do we locate local economic development in this particular sense. You'll still find a company from Bloemfontein come and just erect a fence, that is a security fence, when you have people locally who are equally capable of doing that. I suspect it's also because of a lack of a public education program on the part of the department to say local contractors in all areas, this is how you tender, so that people would be educated appropriately so that they can also compete. I am of the view that even people in Bloemfontein have not been taught how to do it, but because of proximity they took interest in how to do this particular tendering. But people from areas that are very far from Bloemfontein, they will not have the opportunity to venture into these business practices, whereas you have people that are equally competent. What is it that the department is doing, in a sense, to actively engage in public education programs to teach contractors and the aspiring business people so that they would benefit from this particular process?
Well, because the other members really missed the input, let me just put questions on their behalf. I came in on their behalf. Certainly there's a report before me from your own provincial treasurer. Let's say education has spent 211 million or 90%, 0.6 of their adjusted conditional grant allocation of 233.5 million. And they project to overspend the total allocation during the 07-08 financial year by about 18 million rand. Now this is problematic. This is a conditional grant. Why is that so? Surely a conditional grant cannot be overspent. It means there's a problem with the business planning and therefore the credibility of that business plan. Surely there's a big problem there. And the overspending is so big, 8.1%. What could have been the problem there? Secondly, FET. The projection again here is that you will underspend by 600, 1.6% That's FET collection. And then there's the HIV and AIDS. But I kept understanding there is 6.8%. Because workshops did not take this as planned. School nutrition. It's an interesting one, this one. You don't overspend by 28.7. Now, in the context of the discussion we had earlier with Northern King, we were saying people are learners are migrating, following their parents into the Northern King. How is that possible? But again, this is a conditional grant. Why again the huge projected overspending? Is this credible? This overspending, is this projection credible? Looks like you're going to understand infrastructure by 16.4%. Oh no, at least you're not going to understand this one. Because at the third quarter you were at 83%. Right, yeah, that's it. Yes, Mr. Sokwan.
Chairperson, thank you. I had advanced my apology. That's correct. But I know that this is the province next to your heart. So you would really like to put these questions yourself, not from someone else. But with regard to the question of school nutrition, clearly the demand is becoming higher and higher. I mean, this question now, I'm not only referring to the Free State, but I would like the Eastern Cape is still here also to respond to it. Are we staying as a department waiting for National Treasury to give us funds for the schools? What else is being done to support this, what you call this fund that comes from the national department or national treasury, in terms of your school gardenings or whatever? I have not had anything. You know, when I was growing up, or many of us here were growing up, there was school gardenings those days. And this day, it seems that we're waiting for the CFO to deliver on the water cross. But as schools, what is it that we're doing to ensure that at least, as Northern Cape does, Northern Cape wants to extend the program to high schools. And the Pulukana Conference as well said that, it endeavors that this program must be extended to high schools. Clearly, it's not going to be sustainable with the current funds, unless the schools themselves at least do a little bit of school gardening so that they can supplement whatever was the college they're doing. That's one, Chairperson. But the second one, Chair, is there are minor cases and major CAPEX. It's a new language that comes from the central province. What is that? And as a result, the EPWP for minor projects and EPWP for major CAPEX projects. I don't know. Chairperson, I know you are innovative people there in the central province. Come with your own articles. Where are you getting this terminology of major and articles? Because my understanding is that EPWP with the ETWP, because it means that now, if you have got major ETWP and minor ETWP, clearly discriminating now against these two groups. Those people who get work from your major ones and from the minor ones, they will expect that is discrimination now that we practice. But well, the chairperson has already raised the question around your possible overspending in many of your water plants. But where did you go wrong? Where did things go wrong in your spending? Was your business plans, were they proper? If were they proper, did you foresee that you were going to, you could have overspending? And if so, why is it that, was that provided for in your adjustment? Thank you, Chair.
In fact, the biggest problem is that, you remember, June, July, did you fit some goals? If you're projecting this huge overspending on the school nutrition credit, Mr. Adams, you could hear my assessment.
Okay, I just want a point of clarity, and perhaps even the national department can assist with this one, because from the presentation, it appears as if the province has included ECG in the school nutrition program. And I'm not sure whether that is the practice throughout, but my understanding is that ECD was funded separately. There was another an allocation made for ECD. But if I look at your slide 10, National School Nutrition Program, it says, challenges the introduction of the feeding in the registered ECD community-based site. And I mean, perhaps that is where the problem is arising from.
You can't take your head.
It's in the presentation, so I'm going to take a slide 10. Right, and if that is the case, then I mean, my understanding is that the money that is given to ECD basically also incorporates a portion of that for feeding children. And perhaps that is where the problem is is arising from. Also, what would be interesting for us to know is what are the number of voluntary food handlers that you have, and what is the cost to the department, and what is the basis for that? You say that you paid 413,500 learners during the second and the third quarter for all school days, and basically, that means if we have to divide that by two, it will tell us how many learners. So what about the first quarter? Is that included? And why is there this, and on what basis did the department make an arrangement to top up this grant with the national department? Because the plan for the grant should have been based on the funds. And that is where I see there's a big disjunction.
You know, the other major question that I missed is around the, I thought that the request was on provinces to report as well on personnel. And so that the implications of adjustments and what that. And this report, for those of us who came late, we don't see that part around personnel. And what are the implications of your demarcations? You had a Northern Cape that is becoming a small housing, Northern Cape is becoming a small housing, golden province. People now, the migration now is not moving towards the north, but towards the west, you know, to Northern Cape. Okay, but yes, but let's hear their comments around that sense. But also in relation to how they raised earlier the issue of their inability to pay teachers on that incentive, what was it called? which now they say that they are rolling it over for the third year in succession because they are waiting for the resolutions of the chamber. It had to do with the appraisals of teachers of the kind of information. But I think the province had to use their own article, discretion in terms of a payment. But clearly there are challenges in some provinces. Housing has indicated that they have not yet paid up. What is the state of affairs in this respect?
Chief, I'm looking at page 9 where you indicate the number of learners in fact, and down there is volunteers who change us 500 rand pay job awarded to them each month. My question is that how many are these food changers? From which budget are they awarded from the 500 rand? Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I need to indicate that the authenticity of the claim made by the Northern Cape is under question. Looking at the demographics in the Free State and the attraction in terms of our economy, I don't think any research has been conducted for the colleague to make that claim, so that people are migrating to the Northern Cape. And I don't know how many Northern Cape cars I see in the Free State coming to do shopping because they don't have proper shopping in Kimberley. So that needs to be tested, I mean, the claim made by the colleague. Now, regarding the feeding during the strike, Chairperson, we need to indicate that what we did in the Free State was, at the time when we realized that the strike was going on and on, we said as the executive management and we stopped the feeding. We stopped the suppliers from supplying. But the question also arises as to why the high expenditure. Our numbers have grown tremendously in the schools, and the demand has grown higher and higher, to the point where it is difficult to turn the request to feed learners down in the schools where already feeding is taking place.
Just on that one, Mr. Terakomi, what might be the reason for the growth of the numbers? Is it as a result of some of the parents being very active in some quarters? We know in Gauteng, the MEC has told us that there is an area there that the people are elderly, and so they are no more active in terms of producing kids. Is this the consequence of the growth of numbers in the food chain?
Chairperson, I want to submit.
Now, the follow-up is that the Department of Education, or what is the problem with the projection that the Department of Education did at the beginning of the year?
Chairperson, we have to look at the figures. I don't have them, but they should be in the presentation in terms of the growth. And there was a very high growth in demand, to the point that we don't even see the saving that we have realized as a result of the strike. It has been absorbed by the growth, but the CFO will deal with the growth. He'll be checking the growth as I'll be going on. So we are successful in doing that, in terms of stopping the suppliers from continuing to supply. And regarding the cost per meal per learner, I need to indicate that we spend 98 cents per learner, like I indicated in the previous sitting. And we're looking at the national menu, and we're taking the menu that is favorable to the culture in the Free State in terms of the staple food that the people are providing. So we look at that national menu, and then we apply the national menu to suit the needs in the Free State. Chairperson, I need to also indicate, maybe get into the questions that have been asked by Ladejo Tile, that the implication of the FET Act to the FET colleges and to the recap program also, maybe just in passing, that the colleges are now able to employ according to the need immediately. The turnaround time is much faster because they don't have to contact the provincial department for them to do the appointment. And also, in terms of the expenditure on the FEQ recap, the implication is that they now have their own staffing and they look at their needs and the way they are present, they can be able to employ immediately and say, no, look, there is a need. We can't move this recap budget. They don't have to be contacting the head office. But over and above that, what has happened is that we have had some colleagues at the FET colleges signing to be employees of the FET colleges council. Some did not sign. Only a few did not sign. And the National Department of Education said we should see how we deal with these colleagues who did not sign. Whether we give them VFPs or whether we take them to our provincial office or district. We have decided in the Free State that we are going to keep them at the institutions so that they don't create a gap in terms of teaching, so that all the programs are covered. So we'll be dealing with this matter time on forward. Now, on the issue of local economic development, and maybe this question was mainly directed to the Department of Public Affairs and Transport, but realizing that we have a colleague from the department at the executive management level sitting in the committee of public works when they deal with our issues. The constraint that we have here in terms of empowering people from small towns are the demands of the building industry itself, the CIDB qualification. That you can't be given a project of this magnitude when your CIDB does not qualify you for that. That is a constraint. So that what we have been encouraging public works to do is that even when the demands are high, say CIDB 9, those colleagues will get the tender. One of the conditions should be that they should be promoting and capacitating those with CIDB 6, CIDB 7, so that ultimately we can have people from small towns also being able to take such huge projects. But that is the constraint at the moment, that is actually defeating the objectives of local economic development. Now, coming to the issue of the policy expenses that the Khoshul is speaking about, we have in the main contacted people who are local because this program has been deployed to the SGPs. It has been run by the SGPs, and the SGPs were given some guidelines to say you appoint locally based people. So that with the policy expenses, I can say with confidence that all of them were done by local people. They were done by local people because in the adjudication of the bids were done by the SGPs. And in terms of the advert, they were limited to a particular town and they were not allowed to go beyond. What we do also, Chairperson, is that we report on a regular basis to the economic cluster, EI cluster, and investment cluster of the Free State government on how far are we empowering local people when it comes to these projects. And our report in this area in particular of our own EPWP, which I still need to qualify what our EPWP means, has been a very favorable report in terms of us meeting the target. Let me just explain maybe the EPWP minor details. I'll come back to the other issues then. That when we talk minor CAPEX and major CAPEX, we're talking minor in the light of the minor repairs at school. A roof being blown off by the storm, we don't go to public work. We do it internally, in-house, as education. Locks being broken, window panes, and so forth and so on. Now, I want to submit that our EPWP is a misnomer. If you look at the national EPWP concept, it is where we assign projects, like I've indicated, to the SGB Sudan. We were running short of a name for this, and we called it an EPWP. And we have owned up that it is a misnomer. We will give it some name so that people can then understand, so that we differentiate between the national EPWP project run by Public Works and Social Development and this one. It's a different animal, slightly. But we are just empowering the communities in that fashion. The CFO will respond to the overspending. Director Bodhi did mention the issue of school nutrition, and I did respond to that in terms of the demand going high and high. And where the learner enrollment grow in January, There is no way in which you can discriminate against learners in a school. But what we are doing as the Free State Department of Education is that the conditional grant that we get from National, as a conditional grant, is supplemented by funds from our equitable share. So as to accommodate these growing numbers of learners.
The conditional grant is supposed to supplement, but now it is the conditional grant that is being supplemented, and therefore the question is, are your own business plans not credible?
Chairperson, we have to own up that maybe that is an area of weakness that we have to look at closely in the manner in which you put it. We'll have to look at that. It doesn't have to be the other way around, as the chairperson has indicated. And let me also indicate that the presentation does indicate that we have vegetable gardens at the schools. It is recorded in the presentation where one of the honorable members is asking about the gardens that we used to do when we were still at school. It does indicate what kind of initiatives we have in the Free State in that area and how learners are fed in that kind of situation. ECD is not part of NSMP. It is mentioned, this point that the honorable member is mentioning, is mentioned as a challenge, that there is a demand by the ECD side for us to feed learners at those sites. And we have not been able to accede to that request. We have not been able to accede to that request. Where we have ECD sites, the educators who are making those sites have indicated the need, but if not, because the conditional grant does not make provision for that. Yes, we've got food handlers, like we have indicated that we give hot meals daily at the Free State schools. We have mothers who have to prepare this food, as the teachers are busy with education. And they are paid 500 rand per month, a per diem of 500 rand per month. This money comes from the very same NSMP money, and it is done through transfer payments to the schools. And the principals then have to account for these payments. So yes, we have paid the food handlers. The number of food handlers that we have in the system, I'm not sure whether the CFO has got the figures, but we can provide those. You see, it is so many food handlers, and this is maybe their job description, and they multiply by 500 rand each, and this is how much you are spending in that regard. I don't have that calculation here in terms of numbers. Chairperson, with your kind permission, I wish to hand over to the CFO to finish the side of the figures in the main.
I just want to raise this for your own attention, Treasurer. You know, there seems to be some misalignment. I'm not sure intentional or unintentional. And I think the first one is this ECD thing. You know, the way it is now, it's supposed to be a social development, but I'm not sure why, what's going on. And so this effort request from ECD side that these are the tiny thoughts, not so. The little of the kids that surely must be fair. I mean, there should be no reason for people to ask for it. Stands to reason that these are tiny kids that must be fair. Exactly, that's the one issue. But number two, part of what we were talking about, if you look at the report that we have for them, libraries across the 9 provinces are underfunded. But now libraries are situated, this grant is situated at the cultural department, Department of Culture, Arts and Culture. Now, there's a very direct link between learning and education, essentially. Now, I'm not sure again whether it is what deliberate that it must be at Arts and Culture and not with education. Is it because education is overloaded and so libraries therefore cannot be a competence? For instance, one lady was saying to me, there's also this campaign that is led by the minister of immigration, the reading campaign. So I'm just saying, I think there's a big problem of, I'm not sure whether it was deliberate or unintentional. And so that Department of Arts and Culture looks like it's not yet really ready and geared to do these things. So I'm just saying, I think, I'm not sure National Treasury what would be your view on these things. There seems to be some unintended misalignments, I'm not sure. Or whether we're thinking. Well, again, it's really not money that is resident with the National Department of Education. All of it is always transferred to provinces. Whether it is FET colleges, it's going to colleges, etc., etc. So then issues of recap of libraries, building of libraries, and so on, and so on, ought to be again, public works ought to be involved again in this thing, so that your libraries are immediately recapped, healed, etc., but also buying of books for libraries. It's another matter, and that reason. So you have a quick, not response now, but just whether you think this is incorrect or correct. Maybe I'm just thinking like a young one again.
Wonderful response. Actually, the objective there was to open the public library because it goes beyond school provisioning of reading. But there was supposed to have been engagement between the Department of Education and the Department of Arts and Culture in the development and provisioning of the library. That is supposed to happen between the two departments, where they're supposed to set up a committee that liaises with one another and works together. That may not be happening as we have assumed it would. Exactly the same thing applies with the sports grant, where the Department of Education is supposed to work with the Department of Sports and Recreation. And it's basically the same principle. So it's a matter of coordination between the sectors that needs to be addressed. The ECD grant, I just want to go back to that one. There's the tiny, tiny part. That's the one thing, and then there's the ECD, and that's the grade R learners. Now, from what we understood or how it was, is that there isn't an allocation that is made for those categories of learners. And included in that, there should be an amount that should be able to feed the learners that is incorporated into that. So if there's a request over and above that, then that is something that falls outside this grant. And that is where we say, even if they are asking, that perhaps there may be a need to improve the quality of food or increase the number of learners that need to be fed. And that is something that needs to be addressed outside this discussion. This one is particularly aimed or directed at school learners, and that's how I understood it. People in the system up to, grade 9 or 7, 7, I think somewhere there, or grade 7. Those are the learners. The prerogative, yes, there is a move to say that we need to extend this to high schools, but that is supposed to happen incrementally as the funds become available, whether it is from the national coffers or from the provincial coffers. And perhaps that is what we need to look at. I know that there has been a top-up to this grant, and even in the next budget moving forward, there is additional money that's coming for the school nutrition program, basically to take care of inflation costs and those kind of things. What is of concern to me here, Chairperson, and through you, maybe we need to establish it. What is the number of learners that fall within the prescript of what the grant is trying to achieve, and how many more learners are they trying to achieve in the province, and where the misalignment between the grant and the funding is, and perhaps that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, just a quick one, Chair, on the partnership between the Department of Education and the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. We've got such structures in the province, and they are functional. Where we're cooperating on sports, and we submit regular reports to our political heads, we've got subcommittees that also report to the head of department. And on arts and libraries, we've got those structures. So there is cooperation in the Free State in that regard, according to the protocols determined by the National Minister of Education, the National Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, at national level, those ministers. There have been some MOUs signed at national level, and we have signed those MOUs also at provincial level. So those committees are functional.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to assist in terms of the ECD and the grade R. In terms of the cabinet memo, when the school nutrition program was transferred, at the time that it was transferred, a decision was made in cabinet to say that the Department of Education should feed grade R to 7, and grade R at the school starts. So we are covered in terms of that. But over and above that, then the cabinet memo continues to say we need to also focus on ECD sites at community sites. Now that's where then the Department of Education is like external to the Department of Education and therefore not able to have easy access to them. And that in itself depends on the cooperation between the Department of Education and Department of Social Development. And yes, the cabinet memo also refers to the inter-collaboration, because then it mentions the Department of Education, Health, as well as the Social Development in order to facilitate that. And also, the constraint as mentioned by this state is a constraint which applies to every problem, because then there was limited funding around that in terms of just the grade R and 7, and therefore provinces have always found themselves, you know, falling short of reaching those ECD sites, community sites. And the Department of Education has also been very having it difficult to actually reach those schools because they are not registered in terms of the DOE regulation of registered sites. So they are sort of relying on social development to assist in the process of registering them as educational centers. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me to also lay an egg on the two issues. Let me start where the lady ended with the ECD from age 0 to 4, that's prior to grade R in school. It was the responsibility of social development. Money there, they have to register the site, they have to run the site as ECD centers. Department of Education's responsibility was to ensure training programs for the care centers. I don't want to call them educators, but to call them caretakers for those very little ones. It is now being expanded for whatever reason to say Department of Education should also take responsibility for the remuneration of the trainers while undergoing training as from the coming year. And there were many debates around that issue during the MTES debate. And that was the last decision. But the sites belong then or are registered with Department of Social Development, not Department of Education. And there was a problem, we were informed also with the registration of the sites, because they have to meet certain criteria to see that the sites are user-friendly for those little ones. Minimum conditions that must be met. And I think some kind of compromise has been reached to say you can give provisional registration, that you give a period of time to meet the minimum conditions as a possible working way forward. But that is still in the hands of social development. On the school nutrition program, Honorable Chairperson, when we inherited it from health some years ago, actually grade R in schools did not yet exist. There were not grade R classes. So it was actually grade 1 for primary schools, then up to grade 7. Now grade R as ECD in education, if you put it that way, and then the actual grade R, there are many ECD sites out there as Mr. Rakumesi would be able to confirm. But there's also an increasing number of ECD sites within our schools. And you are just faced with a challenge that you can't now feed grade 1, but you don't feed grade R. And so you have to just try and stretch this rand a little further. What is true is that we did get a substantial top-up of this conditional grant for the coming year, and I know we're not speaking about next year now, we're speaking about the current year. But Honourable Chairperson, the Minister has communicated, I think, to the political heads in the provinces to say that the money that is now on the table for the coming year is sufficient for all quintile 1, 2 and 3 primary schools. That means all the no-fee primary schools. It covers all those learners. We have made it 100% poverty index by allocating not to a province a share based on total numbers, but based on quintile 1, 2 and 3. We took the precise statistics and we worked it out on that, feeding 198 school days, and at a meal of, it was determined at 1.50 rand per meal, with the inflation top up, it would now increase to about 1.57 rand per meal. So, on average. So, the provinces should be able to do more in the coming year. And in the MTF allocations, there's also for, yes, 2009-10, another substantial increase. And at that point in time, it will be the minister's decision when you're nearer to the date. But consideration will then be able to be to say, do I start implementing in a structured way in secondary schools, or do I increase the value of the meal, or what the case may be. But the minister will decide. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Useful again, but I think when social development comes, then we must still pursue this discussion ourselves on whether these little ones are fed at the site. Number two, whether the educators, if you like, are also paid by social development. It would be useful, but also I think let's also ask you to do some audit, just in respect of the, especially the sites, whether these little ones firstly are fed, but number two, the educators, I mean, as CFO is saying, you are now the responsibility is coming back to you to start paying the educators, if you like, there. I think let's also look at those things so that, because I'm raising this, because it looks like also social development in some of the provinces, on the one hand, seem to be over an understanding. And we surely need to know exactly where the money is going to if these things are not done appropriately. SFO?
Thank you, Chairperson. Briefly, I would like to indicate that with regard to the projected understanding of reporting by our treasurer, I just need to indicate that with regard to the FET research, we had a meeting. We had a meeting. We had a meeting, Chairperson, with the principals and project managers of the FET research from the four colleges. And from our discussion, it is clear that we have been able to come to a situation where we can say that the four FET colleges, in terms of the plans that are on the table, will not be able to fill that plan. We had one instance last year of the Flaviat Maraca FET College, which underspent by, if I remember quite well, 8,000 rand, not rand, and that was then rolled over. And the other colleges will not be able to fill that plan. the Flavius Marreta will also not be able to overstand. However, Chairperson, you have indicated that there are these infrastructure projects, particularly in the Goldfields FET College, that are major infrastructure projects. There is a risk that if those projects are not finished on time before the end of the financial year, which they said to us, that they are working very hard to get the project finished before the end of the financial year. So it is maybe at the Flavius Marreta FET College where we may have a instance of underexpenditure if those projects are not finished before the end of the financial year. So I'm responding to the report by our provincial treasurer. With regard to the NSN teacher person, we have indicated that we committed ourselves as a province to say we are going to supplement the NSNC conditional grant as a province. So the expenditure reflected is on the conditional grant part. And once we reach the 100% mark on the conditional grant, then we begin to pay on our equitable share part of the province, and therefore I do not think that it is correct to have a fear that we are going to overspend on the grant itself, because we then take over the payment from our equitable share part. And to be precise, our equitable share part is just approximately around 12 million additional funds that we have set aside.
You know what this means? This means switch off. Bottom line is that something in the equitable share is compromised if you dig into it, and therefore there must be a fear. And this is why we're saying, firstly, there's no reason for the conditional grant to overspend. Not unless planning was wrong. That's just the bottom line.
Chairperson, I just need to explain that this issue has got a history where I think about 2 years ago we received an additional funding of around 11 million from the National Department of Education. So then as a department we have had the obligation to sustain that 11 million in terms of the additional children that were brought into the project after the allocation of that 11 million.
What the National Department did was wrong. To bail you out. That's the bottom line. That was it.
Honorable Chairperson, there were a number of provinces that were saying they could not meet the minimum requirements of the feeding scheme in that year. Based on that, we made a plea to National Treasury, who then gave some additional funding for the year. But the purpose of the funding for that year then was just to meet the minimum requirements, but it soon became clear that for normal operational feeding purposes, the money would not be utilized before 31 March. And directives were then issued to say, please spend this on non-recurrent expenditure, which could include the setting up of kitchens or those kinds of things, which is once-off expenditure. It's not a recurrent annual expenditure. And that was the correspondence that flowed. What happened in practice, I cannot pledge for.
Please, it does not respond to my question. Credibility of planning. That's the biggest issue there. As you approve business plans, let's come back to that and we'll find. So that let's give people what they can chew. Okay? But also let's also double check so that the numbers must be well informed.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to, I think the HOD has already responded to the question of the number of schools that have good gardens or sisters. On the major and minor, I just need to indicate that all the projects that we hand over to Public Works, Roads and Transport in the province are classified as major projects and all the projects that remain within the Department of Education as the HOD explained, are classified as minor projects. I do not have Chairperson, the actual number of the voluntary food handlers, but I think the HOD has indicated the specific objective for us to have these food handlers. The personnel expenditure indicates in our department a slight pressure because we are now at 75.16%. The reason it is because we had a discussion with Treasury on the exact amount that needs to be supplemented by Treasury to ensure that we are able as a department to implement the wage agreement negotiations. And with those discussions, we were able to get additional funding from our Treasury of 20 million rand. And then the other agreement with our provincial treasury was that the savings that was realized as a result of the educator strike, we then had a directive to say the savings then had to be used for education priorities. And one of the priorities that was identified was to supplement the that particular issue. And we then had something like 22 million plus 20 million, which overall became 42 million to cater for the wage negotiation agreement. But it appears, Chairperson, that even or despite that, we are having a slight pressure on the personnel budget. So that is the situation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. What we'll do then is to, I've just sent Nomfusi to make some copies on the list of FEK colleges across the province. Just to plead with members as we go through later to the constituency. If you've got time, just to get into one or two of those FEKs. Especially having spoken to the Department of Education in your provinces. Because personally, I would wonder if there are comments maybe with some of the officials, especially the Goldfields, Fiji. At that time, because I'm just looking at it, at that time during April, just to see how far they are moving in terms of it. But just saying also for members, each member shall identify in the list that's going to be given to you now. The next 5 minutes, just to say, what are we seeing in respect of these FEGs? Madam Kuni, is that a matter of life and death?
I did visit the FEK colleges, but what I discovered... Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because of the children I was taking to the FEK colleges. No, in my own... what I found is some of them are actually finishing school for my kids.
On this discussion of the first day, we will give you the list of your FETs. Don't worry about that.
Now, on
you will report to us in April about your visit to them.
On the issue of ETs, I think we should also have libraries for the tiny tots. Because they don't have any library. I went to some of them. the counting seats, the seats, that can be in their libraries. Not just libraries for the bigger children only. Because when I look at the results of some of the children, they get 7 points in mathematics. Yes.
Switch off. You're a member of the finance committee. Now, before you raise any question as a member of the finance committee, you must always think of the cost. No, you have not thought about of the cost. The financial implications are already huge. But we're talking tiny toddlers, 0 to 4. Oh no. There are toys there. You don't need a library.
But library
is understanding. It's fine, but then the teachers, educators, mothers and sisters that are already there are teaching them those skills. Don't you worry about that. But when they start getting into the bigger system, or Adam has something to say about that. Adam?
Yes, I want to respond and then also to the alignment issues. We spoke about the pre-grade odds, and we need to first understand, because in the budget of the education department, and I have this part here, yeah, I hope you don't mind if I throw it on the screen. Yes, and the definition for these, and I think this would also support the lady's argument for that there is a budget for goods and services, mm-hmm. which would include the points that she's raising. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit small, but this is the budget and program structure that we bring out and which we negotiate with the sectors. And if you look at grade R, it says to support particular community centers at grade R level, and then on the right hand side, what the specific objectives are there in terms of goods and services. And then you have, I just need to go a bit higher, yeah? That's early childhood. So we separate between, if you look at the first one, it's grade R, then we go grade R on top there, and then we have grade R in community centers, where we, that's another separation for grade R up to 5 years. And then there's pre-grade R, that's 6 to 0 to 4, and there's an allocation in the budget. The problem that we picked up in the benchmark is departments don't separate those two budgets. And the pre-grade R budget sort of gets lost. And hence, there's no allocation going to, or that is the assumption that there's no allocation going towards there. And it puts, this is the budget structure of every education department. So they all of them should have a budget for these separate programs.
There's no reason to be squealing for funding at that level.
No.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, yeah, so you must remember, this is what we agreed on, that the sector will report on these, and this is how they would allocate their funds. Whether they are in fact doing it, this is now a question that remains. But they've agreed to a program structure where they would start allocating these funds. And I think this is where, under pre-grade R, they lump all the funds in shows as an over-expenditure there. In fact, they should have flipped out the pre-grade R and put it there where it's supposed to go. Just a second question away from this. In terms of infrastructure, I think Free State is locating the infrastructure budget under auxiliary services. And within the sector, and this was also a discussion point last year when we met with all the various CFOs, because the provincial treasuries, for their own purposes, wanted to have infrastructure separate, like in health, they have a facilities program that facilitates the infrastructure allocation. In this sector, we have the infrastructure allocation per program, so that you can see, well, it speaks to allocation efficiency, where you actually pick up what the various infrastructure budgets are. Again, it would reflect as if the departments don't do that, and they lump it somewhere and it shows as an under expenditure because the infrastructure has been taken out and it shows it somewhere else.
Just before, you know what you must do? The purpose is of the members of the committee. Well, I think what you're raising is much more empowering again, so that the language must be all the time clearer and clearer. Would be nice to prepare a proper presentation for the 27th of February, when we're having a workshop on the division of revenue bill. Because this discussion we've got to, because we shall be looking broadly now at the whole allocation frame. And so it would be nice just to, so that as we start talking and delving into these matters, all the members, because provincial chairpersons or provinces will also be part of this discussion. That workshop must then, the issue we've just raised has whetted our appetite. We want to know more. And so prepare something on this, so that day we get into the thing. Because what we must then do then, is to go back to the provinces then and to say, are you doing this thing? See, because part of the bigger problem is which worries us is when we were saying ESCOs do not prioritize education. But then it means also education departments are also not prioritizing this level we're talking about now in the context of education. CFO, 2 seconds.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to waste the time of this committee, but I have no reason to doubt what my colleague is telling me, but he must still only convince me. After the meeting, I would like to pick it up with him that he just indicates where in this year's vote, for example, the money is on education for ages 0 to 4. Because the only amount that I'm aware of is something like the 20 million on our department's vote for the development of the training programs and the compiling of that material, but not for any other purposes. So you will assist me. Thank you, Chief.
No, don't worry. You will also be part of the workshop. Come on that day of the 27th. We will have a broad discussion. But also, finally, there are also days on which education is going to appear before the committee on the broad issues that relate to your own funding in respect of the division of revenue have. So we'll have to deal with these matters and resolve them. Because we know, during this hearing, some of these things do come up. Disputes are made. We will then always take well-informed decisions about this. Because finally, these things must be resolved. Every beneficiary must benefit. Work up. Free State, you are rushing for your plane. You can rush. You also be building some international airport in that province of yours.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. We want upfront Chairperson to apologize on behalf of the NSC and the HOT. We are going to present a report from the Eastern Cape as required by the letter of invitation.
If you apologize on behalf of the MEC and HOT, then there's a problem. You know what the problem is?
I don't know, sir.
The problem is, we're dealing with a department that is entirely in the ICU. And they're not here.
Between ICU and FBOX.
Sit to that, I can't hear you, man.
Sir, yes. So between the ICU and FBOX.
Basically the point. Now, you know what we will do? I'm so sorry about this, and this is a very nice and comprehensive report. If these two seriously accounting people are not here, then we will have to take this as presented. But do raise the matter with them, that please, because with the Eastern Cape, I mean, like Mpumalanga, there are real serious issues we want to raise with them. I'm coming to you now. So that part of the problem here is that people really must start taking serious their accountability and so on. Mr. Robertson.
Chair, I like your ruling. But if I can just come back with some two other points about you guys, if it's okay with you. Chair, in the beginning of January, in the Daily Dispatches, which is the Eastern Cape newspaper, school bus operators angry at no payment. And I'm just going to quote three passages out of that, and if I can come back with a report if it's true or if it's not true. Thousands of Eastern Coast school bus operators are at loggerheads with the Provincial Education Department, claim failed to pay, deliver on promises of outstanding payment. That's the one. Operators from 30 districts in the province had not been paid for 3 months during 2007, it's June, October, and November. Then it's alleged, when it's quoted here, we were promised by the MEC, Mr. Johnny Mokatu, that we would be paid before the end of the year, but none of his promises have come true. Now, says this is a very serious, I hold this in a very serious light. On December the 7th, it was announced that the provincial treasury had allocated 40 million to the department to deal with a payment backlog, as the initial amount budgeted 46 million had been exhausted. Chair, and up to about a week or two ago, these people slept in place, as far as I know. Chair, and then the other issue that I'd like an answer to is when they report back to us, is that the MEC made a statement in the Eastern Cape that all the special schools for disabled people will not receive money. And Chair, I think that's also held in a very serious light. Yes, Chair. Now, Chair, I've been in Parliament a long time, 13 years I think, and nowhere in those 13 years has anything ever improved, and I'm sorry to say it, and with all respect, the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape, it is going from bad to worse, Chair, and I really think there has to be some intervention, even if it's divine intervention. Thank you, Chair.
I agree with your ruling, sir. Because you know, sir, I also sympathize as you have sympathized with them for having them for having allowed them to sit here the whole day. Because sir, clearly there are problems. We from the province, there are problems. As in Mpumalanga, I don't think that people who are not accounting officers, then we should put a burden on them. Because if, as my colleague is saying, that there must be serious or detailed steps that must be taken, it must be taken, we must talk to the right people. We must talk to the right people. So I think that our apologies for, but we're not informed timely that they are not here. We don't know. The reasons for them not coming here. But I think that the person. So it's up to provinces. They can take this forum seriously if they want, or may not take us seriously if they want, if they don't want. I think that is up to them. We are going to the division of revenue. There, people will come here running. We will not go around looking for them. They will come here running, because we'll want answers. And I know that time, people will sacrifice these other visits that they do, and birthdays they arrange, whatever is being arranged, and want to be to represent themselves here, as they want to call it, at this forum. On those from the 4th, is it from the 4th when you're going to the Division of Revenue, 4th of March, no? Yes. I would wish that they can do what they do now. Go to whatever, wherever they want to go that time, so that we remain here and take our own decision based on our own, what you call it, discretion. Because they don't want to inform us about their own challenges. So.
Part of the challenge before you was that you remember there was some money they had to surrender themselves. Tell you a story. Secondly, their own public works. We still have to go to that province, did they get a decision in respect of sports, art and culture. We were going to take a similar decision for this department, precisely because it's the same decision we took for Mpumalanga. Precisely because they are terribly in the ICU. And so what is then raising CFO is this is this in case. Accounting officer is yes, MEC is not here, and I'm saying, yet, they have this serious problem. And my colleagues are saying, for whatever reasons, they have stayed away. But the bottom line is that you don't want to talk to people who are not the accounting officers. Well, we do want to raise serious issues and raise those serious matters
You see, part of what we need to be raising is this matter that appears in section 45 of the division of revenue. Because the Eastern Cape issue has become a legacy. It's no more a perennial issue. It's a legacy. And because it is a legacy, we must find a solution once and for all. But then, as we do that, where do we start? That's the gist of the discussion. So I'm saying, clearly we don't want to be talking to, as my colleagues are saying, to people that are not to be blamed. But also we are not going to apportion, we want to be talking on the basis of the law. And therefore commit people to the law. Robert says.
Chair, I'll support you wholeheartedly. But Chair, the DDG has said this often. The last time he was in Cape, you asked him to deal with the issue of education in the Eastern Cape. I asked the DG to come back to me. I've spoken to him. He never came back to me on that issue. It has never been resolved as far as I know, Chair. And it's just the attitude of some of the people from the Eastern Cape that really concerns me, because if they cannot come and account to this committee in Parliament, then what responsibility do they have for those poor children on the ground? The nutritional schemes, I won't even mention the word. But, Chair, there's a total lack of responsibility to people who cannot help themselves. And that makes me very angry, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Sokol, he never speaks so much, but when he speaks so much, he's a bit agitated. I'll allow him to vent out.
I'm worried, man, Chairperson. I'm really worried, because all of us, as we're sitting here around, we have a responsibility to deliver to the people. We have a mandate to improve the lives of the people. Now, so if we have leisure to do other things that are more important than doing what you're supposed to do, it is a problem. You know, now, we're still fresh from the, I mean, the ink has hardly dried on the Polokwane resolution. They are still very fresh in my mind. People have been saying Parliament is weak. And I think that's why people really don't take that seriously, because they understand that Parliament is weak. And that resolution says Parliament must, what you call, really change that, what you call, a perception of being weak. And I think that your Bible that you continue to read, it's the path that are trying just to be fair to people. No? It's us. The law really has got we don't have this. Maybe it's because we want to ensure that we move with people. But the law does what you call it has this. And maybe and people, they really would, they're agitating us to come to that, to say, well, maybe let's now refer to those what you call the sections of the law that really ensures that people do account and take the issue of accounting seriously. Because these are public finances, you know. I'm very worried, you know. I'm very worried. We have been to Eastern Cape. We moved from here to Cape Town. We moved to Eastern Cape so that we can come closer to them and get to understand the problem. Well, it's a pity, especially for, I really respect the MEC, I've got a lot of respect for him. Perhaps maybe if we heard what the apology is. But I think the person is let's just leave it to them, and I really ask this committee to write and read to them, to the MEC, and raise his displeasure about what they call their failure to come to this committee.
Yes? Hey, if you're going to propose, one of the committee members will propose, we did to Mbumalanga. If they don't, it's not proposed. and would second the proposal of it, that it is exactly the same for the Department of Education and this intervention.
Look, part of the problem here is that, and we were saying, these hearings must inform our deliberations in the Division of Revenue. Now, having, of course, sight of the picture, and this is part of the problem, CFO. You know, we always, amongst ourselves, agonize over the plight of the people. And that if we, you know, when we were dealing with the withholding power in the clause in the Division of Revenue Bill, I think 2 years ago, there was some serious resistance amongst the members of this committee. Because they were saying, but why do we allow people to withhold? What about the people that we punish? The bottom line is that we were saying, no, but the bottom line is that this money does not just go straight to the people. It goes via a particular structure, whether it is the Department of Education, whatever. Now the bottom line is that the department itself is not performing to ensure that the money goes. And so what is the morality then? Why? Last year, ourselves here, again in the same case, were faced with a dilemma of passing a billion rand housing department recently, fully aware ourselves that they don't have the capacity to spend. They came here, persuaded us all sorts of things, and we said, no, we shall be monitoring this thing on an ongoing basis, monthly. But even before the financial year ended, this very financial year, half a billion of that money has been withheld. Now, do we have to, again, in this Division of Revenue Bill that's coming, again, pass this money as we see? That's the point. Do it. But the bottom line is that ourselves, again, become liars. Because we know that these people don't have the capacity to do these things. And yet, we pass these things. When in fact we could have said, no, this MTEF must be amended. Because these people cannot bite, cannot chew the way they can bite. So clearly there's a whole range of things, credit. But also, it would also talk to yourselves. Well, why do you give this money to people that you also know that firstly do not have the capacity to spend? It's a discussion that all of us must have, and this is a discussion we will have when we're dealing with the Division of Revenue Bill before we pass it this time around. We will not pass it until you convince us that the Eastern Cape Department of Education is ready to spend. Conditional grants that appear here, for instance, for the Eastern Cape, will not pass. It's not an idle threat. It's precisely because we have the power to amend the Division of Revenue ourselves. And so clearly, it's a matter we've got to take very, very seriously. Now, what's your last word, CFO, before I go?
Before you come to the last word, the other day, we were with, local government. The day we were talking about the bonuses that people pay. You know, we're saying, so we're the only department, maybe government is the only place where people, there's no performance, what you call the contract. You perform, you don't perform, it's the same. People will earn their what you call, they will earn bonuses and even promotions. But we said that we cannot, what you call, go on with such a, what you call, a situation. Really, people need to earn their salaries. They need to earn their salaries. In the Eastern Cape, there was a school where not one child passed. The principal had the guts to stand on TV and say, no, parents are not supporting. Now, parents have become, they must become teachers. They must teach the children. He does not talk about himself. and his staff. He's talking about the parents that are not supporting meetings and what. But not one student passed in that school. So I'm saying we really have a problem. I think that we really have to ensure that people take us seriously. Yeah.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we have also listened carefully today. And a number of issues have arisen, some that we need to give you information back to this house. We'll work on that. And some issues that have been flagged that need further discussion and intervention, and we'll take it back in my feedback to the Minister on what occurred today. We'll raise it, but we'll also take it up with National Treasury and see what he can do. At the end of the day, Honourable Chairperson, I think you put your finger on the soft spot. It is the people out there that are not receiving the services. It is not us that are suffering, it's the people out there that are suffering. And keeping that in mind, I think the best we can offer is to say we are working until we have no hands left, but we must see how we can improve it and take it forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to say, I reiterate everything that the CFO has said. What's also become very clear is that there are sometimes policies that are put in place where we don't really understand all the necessities, particularly like the new grants that come. And perhaps when the new grants are introduced or something new, then I think we need to have some kind of a deliberation to make sure we understand that, you know, we're starting from the same basis. Like, sitting here, we kind of gather, we all have a different understanding of grade R, ECG, and the implementation even of the school nutrition program. And actually, these discussions are very useful in highlighting some of the areas that are very obscure.
I think what we also, the sector has also decided on certain specific policies to drive or to give focus or more attention to specific issues. And I think these are the issues that the gentleman just raised about more service delivery and how we also, the point that Dr. Sukla raised earlier on, of linking these finances to real output performance information. I think the gentleman at the back also raised that point. And these are being driven by the policies that the sector has decided on in terms of pre-grade R and then also personnel issues and so on. And if we can come back in some time and assess to what extent these policies have been met and whether the funds that with the additional funds, apart from the or additional to the baseline in the equitable share, if we should come back in some time and see whether that additional funds actually reach the specific target. Thanks.
So the instruction letters.
I'm sorry, man. Have you got this report? Have you got this copy of this report from SMK? You know what we're saying, so what we're saying. You must look at the first page, spending trends in 2007, 2008. You look at the programs that are there, and look at the expenditure, how much is budgeted for, and the expenditure. You can just look at them. Now, yes, sir.
So also, just a short one. I think both Honorable Sigourney and I feel very strongly about this as members of the committee. That's why we didn't even refer to the report. But if you look at the report, I think it's pages 2, 3, 4, and 7, they're all over. And then just come back with answers.
We know the stories of this thing. We did not even have to. Let them say, if you agree, to both National Department and Treasury, they've got to go back to look at the indicative figure. Now, in respect of the conditional grant for the 10K education, and whether you do want to increase those, as I've said, we might want to disgrace ourselves. Because we don't want to be wasteful ourselves. Look, we don't want to waste money. We want to reallocate as early as now to better performing public. We are not punishing the same thing. We are not punishing Mpumalanga. You're doing this for both the same case and Mpumalanga. Okay? Just go back and look at those conditional grants in particular. And then see whether we need to increase them. Just talk amongst yourselves. So that when we come together, in fact, you might also firm up the decisions yourself. So that when we are coming to the discussions of the division of family, we must be clear what it is that we're doing. Because we don't want to take money that's going to be seated in banks. We want to take money that must be going straight to service delivery. That's just the bottom line. But to take decisions that say this money is passed precisely because there are clear cut plans that are targeting service delivery. And so, in March, then, that's the kind of discussion we shall deal with. Specific, of course, we've got a specific decision for Mpumalanga, which, again, does not close the discussion because we're going to Mpumalanga, but we've got to find a way of also wanting to go to that trip to that problem, just to deal with the whole issue. Can I adjourn? So that the gentlemen and ladies must also catch their eyes. Because if we had allowed them also to present, we would